Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Pesachim Daf Ayin Gimel, the last daf of the sixth perek of Maseches Pesachim. We left off four lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Ayin Beis Am Beis. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's sponsored by Eloy Nishmas, Rabbi Kelmer Zecher Tzadik Levracha, by an anonymous Talmud. It's sponsored by the outdoor minyan in Woodmere, known as the Church Avenue Minyan. Eloy Nishmas, our friends, neighbors, and members, Yuri Sternfeld, Yehud Aryeh Ben Chaim Tovia Levi, Yelav Hashalom, and Moshe Schwartz, Moshe Yitzchak, Ben Yisrael Yaakov, Alav Shalom, and for Shlema Tefega Peril, Bastava Rivka. It's also sponsored by the Pesachim Boys, the Chavrus of three Talmidim from BMT, who continue their decades-long quest to complete and conquer Maseches Pesachim. This is where it's hard. This is, and it's also sponsored by Eli Nishmas, Rav Pinchas Ben Meir Halevi, upon his Shloshim, who is in the middle of his fourth cycle of Daf Yomi, the Neshama Shavan Aliyah, and we thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So yesterday was all about Torah B'dvar Mitzvah, and we're going to have one little piece that we still have to finish off relating to Torah B'dvar Mitzvah. But once we do that, the Gemara is going to go back to our Mishnah, and we're going to explain how it is in our Mishnah that if somebody shechts a Korban Pesach on Shabbos that somehow ends up being pasul, that he's going to be chayiv for violating Shabbos. I mean, what the Chiddush is, rather, in the Mishnah telling that somebody who shechts a Korban Pesach on Shabbos for people who are ineligible to eat it, for Shalol Yachlov, that they're going to be chayiv. Of course they're going to be chayiv for violating Shabbos. They shechted a Korban Pesach that was pasul. If it was kasher, it would have been fine, but it's pasul. And then the Gemara is going to discuss, given that we know the rule is that you're only allowed to be chayiv for Chil Shabbos, one is only chayiv for Chil Shabbos if the act was somewhat constructive, that Mekalkel is one of the Pturim of Melechas Machsheves in Shabbos. So the Gemara is going to try to figure out in each case in the Mishnah, in what way were you constructive? Meaning if you shechted a Korban Pesach that was pasul, and that's why you're chayiv chatos, what was constructive about that? Shouldn't it always be mekalkel, and therefore you're always going to be potter? So we're going to try to go through in each case what the particular tikkun was. And then the Gemara is going to talk about whether a karban that can no longer be used for its originally intended karban, its originally intended purpose, does it lose the status of that karban? Does it lose the shame of that karban automatically? Or does it require akira? So we're going to have a stira between two different sources about that. Do you need to actually uproot it? Or is it automatic that it loses the shame of the karban? And we're going to have four different potential resolutions to that stira. So let's begin again, four lines from the end of the page on Daf Ayin Beis Am Beis. We were going through yesterday at the end of the shir where we got the idea of Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah, right? Where did Rabbi Yochanan, when he spoke about Yevemto Nida, where did he get the idea that Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah is Potter? So one of the suggestions we had was that he got it from Rabbi Yoshua de Truma, that the Mishnah in Trumas tells us that if a Kohen was eating Truma and then he realizes he's not a Kohen, he's a Ben Grusha, he's a Ben Chalutza, so his last name is Kohen or Katz or whatever, but it turns out that he's not a Kohen, so then the Rabbi Yeshua says he's Potter. So isn't that because of Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah? So we said yesterday, no, it's a separate din. It's got nothing to do with Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah. The rule is that when a Kohen does Avoda and then he finds out that he wasn't a Kohen, that he's a Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutza, that the Avoda is still going to be Kosher. We have such a Gzeres HaKosov, the Perich Hashem Chelo, Fall Yad of Tirza, that even though turns out he wasn't really a Kohen, the Avoda is going to be Kosher, and eating Truma is a form of Avoda. So says the Gemara, Utruma Hechi Yikri Avoda, where do we ever find that Truma is called an Avoda? Eating Truma is an Avoda? Avoda doesn't make some Mikdash an Avoda. You can eat Truma anywhere. So the Tanya, because the Brisa tells us, Maisa Rabbi Tafran Shloba Emesh L'Beis HaMedrash, one evening Rabbi Tafran did not attend the Beis HaMedrash, L'Shachmas Mitzvah Ram Gamliel, and the next morning Ram Gamliel saw him, saw Amar Lo, Mipnei Ma Lo Basa Emesh L'Beis HaMedrash. So he said, you always come to learn, where were you last night? It's always good to have a particular place that you always go to. Rav Lapiansky writes in the Sefer that one of the problems with people who hop from one shul to the next is no one will ever notice when you're missing. So you have no social pressure to be there. A person is part of a chabura, so everyone will notice if the person is not there, if they're always there. So he said, why weren't you here last night in the Beis Medrash? So Amalo, Avoda Avadati. He said, I was busy doing the Avoda. So Rav Gamliel says, I know that can't be true. Amalo, called Varecha in El Devertema. You're saying the most strange things. V'chi Avoda B'zman Hazeh Minayin. Where would you do Avoda when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash? So what are you talking about? So Amalo, Rabbi Tarfon said, Harei U'Omer. No, the Pasuk tells us that... that Hashem told Aaron HaKohen, Avodas Matana Etain Eskunaschem Vazara Karev Yumas. So from the fact that the Pasuk calls Avodas Matana, so what is Matana? It's the Matnos Kuhuna that I've given you, and that's called Avoda. So we see that also Achilas Truma Begvulin Kavodas Beis HaMikdash, that eating Truma in a sense is like Avodas Beis HaMikdash. So that's what he was doing. He was busy eating Truma, and therefore he said Avoda Avadati, and that's why I didn't come to the Beis HaMikdash, because I was busy doing the Avoda of eating Truma. But the bottom line is that you see that eating Truma is also called an Avoda. The Netziv raises the question, but is that a good excuse? Meaning, okay, good, so you did Avoda. Is that a good reason not to come to the Beis HaMedrash? Meaning the Halacha is, in general, you know, a person is Chayiv in Talmud Torah every spare moment that they have. That's what we generally assume is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The Stipler has that famous formulation that, of course, a person has to eat, and a person has to sleep, and a person has to daven, and a person has other responsibilities, spend time with family, and other responsibilities, but the chiyuv of Talmud Torah is for every spare moment. That's when the chiyuv sets in for Talmud Torah. Others have a different formulation, that the chiyuv is, no, mamish every single moment, even in the non-spare moments. It's just that it's duchuya during the moments that you're busy with other things. So whatever it is, the chiyuv is every spare moment. So we don't give up Talmud Torah easily. So says the Netziv, if it's a mitzvah that you could do later, that's not pressing for right now, so then you don't give up Talmud Torah for a mitzvah that you could do later. So why couldn't you just eat the truma later on? You have a similar idea. A mitzvah that's efshar lasas al yedei acherim. A mitzvah that other people could do. You don't have to be the one to do it. Someone else is able to do the mitzvah. So you don't give up Talmud Torah for a mitzvah that's efshar lasas al yedei acherim. The Gra in Shnos Elio in the beginning of Peah has a beautiful explanation. He says, why is that a mitzvah that's efshar lasas al yedei acherim that you should not give up your Talmud Torah for it? He says, it's simple accounting. He says, when it comes to Talmud Torah, every single word is a mitzvah. So you're going to learn a daf, and you'll get hundreds and hundreds of mitzvahs. In that time that it took to learn a daf, you'll do what? One mitzvah? One mitzvah is very valuable, but every word is a mitzvah when it comes to Talmud Torah. So you'll get hundreds of mitzvahs during the time that you'd be learning Torah. So the Netziv asks, why was this a good excuse not to come to the Beis HaMedrash? Let him eat the truma some other time. So the Netziv in the Hamik She'ela in She'ilta Hey Os Dalid writes that this is Rabbi Tarfon Lashita So, because Rabbi Tarfon holds in Kiddushin Daf Mem that that Maisa is Gadol Mi Talmud, that actually doing is greater than learning, meaning Talmud Torah is pushed aside even for a mitzvah that's Eina Overis, even for a mitzvah that is not time-bound and time-pressing, and even for a mitzvah that can be done by other people. We don't paskel like Rabbi Tarfon, but that's Rabbi Tarfon's Shita. So this is Rabbi Tarfon, the Shita So, in terms of what is a valid excuse not to have been in the Beis HaMedrash. Okay, says the Gemara further, we had said in the Mishnah, Shechato Shalo Liochlev. If you shech the Karban Pesach on Erev Pesach, when Erev Pesach is Chal and Shabbos, l'shem, people who can't eat it, Azake Nechol, people are unable to eat a Kazayis of Karban Pesach. So he said, you're Chayev Chatos, because the Karban Pesach is Pasul, and you're not allowed, so it's not Tocha Shabbos, so you're Chayev Chatos for being Mechal Shabbos. Says Mar Pshita, Kivan the Hasan Pasul, Hacha Chayev. Obviously, if in Hilchos Karban Pesach, such a Karban Pesach is Pasul, so then if you do it on Shabbos, you're going to be Chayev, because you did not shech the Kosher Karban Pesach. You shechted a non-kosher carbon pesach. You didn't get a mitzvah, so obviously it's going to be a chiyuv chatos. So says Gemara, you're right. That's not a chiddush, but mishum to tana seifa pater tana reisha chayiv. Since the seifa is going to tell us that if you shechted liochlav vishalol liochlav, that if the group of people that are registered in this carbon are some people who are too old to eat a kazayis, but other people who will be able to eat a kazayis, then you're going to be pater. It's not going to be chil shabbos. So that's why the reisha tells us chayiv, even though there's no chiddush in the reisha. Says Gemara, but vahanami pshita mishum da hasam kosher hacha pater. Meaning once you learn Once you learn the fifth parak of this Masechta, so what emerges in the sixth parak becomes obvious. Meaning, once you learn what is a kosher carbon and what's not a kosher carbon, so translate that over to Shabbos. Whatever is a kosher carbon Pesach, you're allowed to do on Shabbos. Whatever is not a kosher carbon Pesach, you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. So what's the chiddush in the Seifa either? So says Mar, you're right. Ela aydi detana shchato shalol lishmo. Aydi detana shchato shalol lishmo b'Shabbos tananami shalol li ochlav. No, but since the time Tana at the beginning of the Mishnah mentions that if you shecht the carbon shalol lishma on Shabbos, that you're going to be chayiv. So it mentions shechting shalol liochlav as well. So it says more v'higufal amali, but that's also pashut. Meaning we already said back in Tamin Nishchat that a Pesach is going to be pasul when you shecht the shalol lishma. So obviously you're going to be chayiv. So it says more no mishum tekabayi liyflugei Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua. The whole chiddush the Tana wanted to teach us is about the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua when you shecht other karbanos l'shem a karban Pesach, right? Is that called the Toa B'dvar Mitzvah, and are we going to say that you're going to be Pater? So we had that whole discussion of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua. What kind of animal was it? Was an animal that wasn't even possibly eligible to be used as a karban Pesach? Was an animal that was eligible? So we bring first the din of a Pesach that shechted l'shem another karban in order to let me know that even Rabbi Yeshua, who says Toa B'dvar Mitzvah is Pater, would be moda that when you shecht a Pesach l'shem another karban, that you're going to be chayiv because you were mishana into a davar aser. You took a Pesach which you were allowed to do, and you said, "Ah, this is going to be shalmei nedava." So that's aser. That you were trying to do something that's aser. So that's the whole chiddush of the Mishnah. So now the Mishnah had said that when the carbon is pasul, right? Whenever the carbon is going to be pasul in the fifth parak of this Masechta, and when you do it, whenever Pesach is chal and Shabbos, you're going to be chayiv a chatos for chil Shabbos. So says Mar Amli Rufuna Barchinah Lebrei Ki Azalto Kamed Rabbi Zreika. When you go to Rabbi Zreika, boy minei, do me a favor and ask him the following question. If you assume that when one does a destructive act on Shabbos, that they're pater, that even when it comes to chabura, when it comes to wounding, which you would think is inherently destructive, but if someone does so in a destructive manner, meaning there are ways that one wounds that is productive, if a person especially assume, like Shitas Rashi, in some places at least, that making a chabura is a part of the malacha of shochet, that it's shchita. So shchita is a perfectly constructive way of doing, of making a chabura, where sometimes you need the dam for whatever, to be machal lebehema, you need the dam. So that's a tikkun in the chabura. But if you hold that mekalkel b'chabura is pater, that when one does a malacha in a destructive way, that it's going to be pater, just like all the other lamites malachas where mekalkel is going to be pater. This is one of the principles of malachas machshaves, that specifically when it comes to Shabbos, it's not only the act, but it's the purposefulness of the act, and so that which includes many different concepts, davashen meskavin, lachshen srichel gufa, many different concepts. So mekalkel b'chabura is pater. So shchato shalol liochlev chayev. If you shecht the carbon Pesach for people who are unable to eat it, our Mishnah said you're chayev for violating Shabbos. Matikein. Where's the tikkun? Meaning, what did you do that was constructive? You pasled the carbon. It's now usher for anybody to eat. So you were not misakin anything with what you did, and therefore we should pater you from a chatas. So the Rishonim are already bothered. You know, the Gemara could have said this on the earlier part of the Mishnah when we said shchato shalol l'shmo chayiv, because shchato shalol l'shmo is also no tikkun. You're also mekalkel. So in fact, Rabbeinu Chananel has a different girsa. Rabbeinu Chananel's girsa is shchato shalol l'shmo v'shalol liochlav chayiv matikein. That's actually what we're asking on. Others who don't have that girsa have to get creative in terms of answering why it is that the Gemara is only asking about shalol liochlav and not shalol l'shmo. But either way, the question is the same, that if it's pasul, memela, you didn't do anything productive. If you didn't do anything productive, then you shouldn't be chayav for Shabbos, because it's kilkul. So it says Gemara, tike nimala lo yardu. No, it was a tikkun, because even if the carbon is pasul, there is a halacha that the Gemara talks about in Maseches Vachim, that any carbon that became pasul in the Azara, if you took the emurim and you put them on the Mizbeach to burn them, so you don't bring them down, you let them burn on the Mizbeach. Even though the chadchila, you're not allowed to bring the emurim of a carbon that's pasul onto the Mizbeach, but imalu, if they've already gone up to the Mizbeach, lo yerdu. So we see that on some level, there's something beneficial about having it burnt on the Mizbeach. And that would not have happened had you not shechted it. A live animal, you're never allowed to. If the live animal walks up to the top of the Mizbeach, you get it down. You're not allowed to burn a live animal on the Mizbeach. So by doing the Shechita, you've accomplished imalu lo yerdu. And that's enough of a tikkun. So it says the Gemara, but I'll ask you another question. Shechato v'nimtza balmum chayiv. Our Mishnah said that if you shecht the carbon, and it turns out that it's a balmum, you're also chayiv for violating Shabbos. Well, matikin, where's the tikkun by a balmum? The Gemara in Zvachim says that even though im alu lo yerdu, by a balmum, im alu yerdu, if you have an animal that's a balmum, since it wasn't psula b'kodesh, only those things that were psula ba'azara do we say im alu lo yerdu, but that which was not psula ba'azara, this is a balmum from before, then we would say im alu yerdu. What exactly it means psula ba'azara is a machlokas rishonim. Rashi writes in Masechta Zvachim, that Psula B'Kodesh means that the behema became Pasul HaKrava after the behema already entered the Azara. But Tosos has some kashas on that, and Tosos writes, no, Psula B'Kodesh means that the Psul happened after it was already shechted and was Niskadish B'Kedushas Kli, not after it was already brought into the Azara, but after it was already shechted and had Kedushas Kli, the Kli Sharis came in contact with it and were Makadish it in that way. Or Tosos suggests in Maseches Nida that it means a type of psul that could only happen after it's hukdash. Meaning, if it's a type of psul that could have happened before, that's not called psul b'kodesh. It has to be the type of psul that only could have happened after it already became kadosh. They say in the name of the Briska Rav, Rav Chilmachal Feinstein, the Briska Rav son-in-law, writes in the name of the Briska Rav, that's probably what Rashi meant also. He doesn't mean anything that became possible before it came into the Azara is not called psul b'kodesh. He means any psul that could have been chal even before it came into the Azara is not called psul b'kodesh. But bottom line is, a bal mum is something that could be from before. It could be from before it ever came into the Azara. So by a bal mum, we don't have this din of ima'alu lo yerdu. Ima'alu, yerdu, you're going to take down a bal mum from the Mizbech. So what's the tikkun? If you were shochet a bal mum on Shabbos, it's stam, it's a pasul of karban. Of course, so why does the Mishnah say you're chayiv chatas? It's mekalkel. So says Mar, tikkain bedukin shaba'ayin. There is one type of mum that im'olu lo yerdu, and that is if it has a cataract in the eye. V'alibud Rabbi Akiva, damar im'olu lo yerdu. Rabbi Akiva's shita is that when there's a cataract in the eye, then im'olu lo yerdu. That since and the reason for that, why is a cataract different than any other type of mum? So the reason is, Rashi explains, because by birds, such a mum would not passel. So a behema that has a mum that would not passel by a bird, if you shecht and it's brought on the mizbech, so you don't have to take it down from the Mizbech. That's how the Gemara in Zvachim explains why Rabbi Akiva thinks that a cataract is different than, let's say, if it's missing a leg or something, where a bird that's Mechusar Ever, birds in general, they're a Mumin, they just have Mechusar Ever. So if it's a Mechusar Ever, and that's the kind of Mum, so then we would say Im'alu lo yerdu, but if it's a cataract, we'd say Im'alu yerdu. So the Gemara asks a third one. Shchatov nimtzu treifa b'seser pater. We said in the Mishnah that if you shecht the animal on Shabbos, you have a Korban Pesach, you bring it on Shabbos, and then you're checking the insides of the animal afterwards, and there's a hole in the lung of the animal. It turns out that it was a trefa. That you're potter. You're not in violation of Chol Shabbos, because what do you want from the guy? How's he supposed to know that there's a trefa inside, that there's a trefa in the lung? There's no way you could tell that until you check the animal. But the diuk to make from the Mishnah is habagalui chayiv. If the trefa that the animal had was something that you should have been able to see from the outside of the animal, then you're going to be chayiv. Well, ma tikein, where's the tikun? Isn't it just mekal on Shabbos? So says Mar, tikin lahotzi midei nevela. You are misaking in that it's no longer a nevela. Meaning, if the animal stam just would have dropped dead, then the animal would have been a nevela. Now that you shechted it, yes, it's a trefa, but it's not a nevela. L'may nafkamina, whether it's a trefa or a nevela, either way, a guy is allowed to eat it, a Jew is not allowed to eat it. Well, nafkamina is legabe tuma. A nevela is has tumas nevela. A trefa doesn't have tuma. So you have so that's the nafkamina. Sfasemis points out, even before, how do you say that you were masaking it from nevela? It wasn't a nevela before you shechted it. Before you shechted it, it was a live animal. It wasn't a nevela. So he says, Enochinami, it wasn't a nevela, but since without the shechita, it would have become a nevela if it would have died on its own, that's considered a tikkun because it used to be nevela eligible, and now it's not even nevela eligible. That's an interesting idea, that nevela eligible is enough of a tikkun. I think they say, I could be misremembering this incorrectly, but I think they say that Reb Chaim's Bar Mitzvah Pshetel was about the connection between Trefa, Nevela, and Ever Menachai. That whether that maybe Ever Menachai is really just that when you that what Shechita does is it takes away the Isser Nevela, because Ever Menachai is a form of the Isser Nevela in some way, that something like that. And when an animal's a Trefa, it's not a Nevela at all. That there's some connection that he made between those three Isurim. So Maskef La Ravina challenge. I'll give you another one. Hadatanya shochet chatos b'Shabbos. A person shucks the carbon chatos b'shogeg on Shabbos. Pachutz la'avod zara, and he does it outside of the azara, and he does it for the sake of avod zara. So he's doing lots of averos. Chayev ala shalosh chatos. He's chayev three separate carbonos chatos for doing this. Why? Because he did chil Shabbos. He did shchitas kachim outside of the azara, and he did shchita l'shem avod zara. But wait a second. If you hold mekalkel b'chabura as pater, matikain. How can you say that he's chayev for chil Shabbos? He didn't do any tikkun. Everything he did was only mekalkel. So and you can't say over here, oh, at least the animal's not a nevela, because right now it's still tamei tumas oel, because it's shechted avodah zarah, and any animal that's shechted avodah zarah is tamei tumas oel. That's what Rashi points out over here, based on the sugya in avodah zarah. The sugya in avodah zarah, daf lamed beis, tells us Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseir Omer, minayin the tekrovus avoscham shemetamei ba'ohel. How do I know that tekrovus avodah zarah is tumas oel? Because the pasuk says ve'yitzmedu lebal par ve'yochlu zivchei meisim ma meis metamei ba'ohel. We refer to shechita avodah zarah as zivchei meisim. So we darshin that just like a mace is metame ba'oel, tekrovus avodah zarah is also metame ba'oel. In Maseches Chulin there is a machlokas amurayim about this din of tumas oel, if tekrovus avodah zarah is metame ba'oel or not, but certainly it's not less than nevela, meaning everyone agrees it's at least metame b'magel u'masa. Nevela is not metame ba'oel either. So the point is, you can't answer on this one, oh, you saved it from tumas nevela. No, you didn't, because whatever nevela could be metame, at least this could be metame at least to that level, maybe more, maybe even ba'oel, but at least to the level of zivchei mesim. Tulsus points out that the Gemara is an additional suffix whether the tumas oel of zivchei of shchita l'avodah zarah is a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan. That would open up a possible answer, meaning if it's only a din d'rabbanan, then you in fact do save it from being nevela d'oraisa. But anyway, the Gemara goes with a different answer. So what's the tikkun over here? So Amrav Avira, Shemotziu Midei Eivr Min Achai. At least now it's not Eivr Min Achai. So Enochinami, it's nevela anyway, so it's Tamei anyway, and it's Asher Ba'achila anyway, but at least now a Ben Noach is allowed to eat it. Because had it been Eivr Min Achai, a Ben Noach would not have been allowed to eat it. So and a Ben Noach is Chayv Misa for Eivr Min Achai. So that's enough of a tikkun in the Shechita, the fact that that a Ben Noach is permitted to eat it. This is an important Maramakom. This Gemara is an important Maramakom in the discussion of Ashitas HaRambam. The Rambam in the ninth parak of Hilchos Melachim writes that a Ben Noach is Neharag if he eats Eiver or Basar Shapirish Min HaBehemo Min Achaya. If he eats Eiver or Basar Min Achai, a Ben Noach is Chayv Misa. But then says the Rambam, Aval Yirayeli Shein Ben Noach Neharag Al Eiver Min Achai Mea Of. That if a guy eats a live bird or an Eiver Min Achai of a live bird, then he is not going to be Chayiv Misa. So the Ravid says it's got to be a mistake. The Rambam couldn't have thought something so ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. Where there's no Maramakum for that. Yirayeli, where in the world did you get that from? There's no Gemara like that. So it must be a mistake. So the Kesef Mishnah suggests for the Rambam that the Rambam only says that as far as Misa, that a Ben Noach is not going to be Chayiv Misa for eating an Eiver Min Achai of an oath, but it's still an Issa d'oraisa. So other Achorim say Manavshach, meaning whenever Ben Noach is Aser, it's always a Chiv Misa. So how can you say that there's an Issa d'oraisa without a Chiv Misa? The place he points out, Rav Yonatan Eibshitz points out that in our Sugya, you see against the Rambam, because Ravina asks, according to those who say that if you're Mekalkel b'chabura, you're Pater, so the Braisa says that if you're Shochidash Achatas b'Shabbos b'chutz la'vodazara b'shogig y'chayiv shlosh achataos. Right, you chayv for chil Shabbos and for shchutei chutz and for shechting avodah zarah. But since the behemah is asur la'achila, what was your tikkun? And the Gemara's answer was that you were tikkun, you were misakin in that it's no longer eiver min achai. And Rashi says, and that tikkun is nogea to Ben Noach, that if he eats it, he's not going to be neharag. Now the Gemara in Maseches Chulin on Daf Mem and Beis tells us that that's why the Braisa doesn't say zevach. The Braisa says chatas, because the Braisa is telling us even about a chatas ha'of. So that's why it doesn't say zevach. If it was talking about only an animal, it would have said zeva. But it's talking about chatas ha'ov. So says the Plesi, our Gemara is explicitly against the Rambam. Because if it doesn't say zevach, and Dafka talks about in terms of chatas, that, to include specifically chatas ha'ov, and our Gemara says explicitly that the whole tikkun was about Eiver Min Achai for Ben Noach. So you see, and Rashi says, what do you mean Eiver Min Achai Ben Noach? Not just about the Isser, but the Chiv Misa, that Ben Noach is not going to be Nerag now, because now that you shechted it, but had you had it as Eiver Min Achai, the Ben Noach would have been Nerag. what? So then clearly it's against, certainly the way Rashi understands our Gemara. Our Gemara is against the Shitas HaRambam. So that's a major kasha that Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz raises. Okay, Shechato v'noda. Let's say the Mishnah said you shechted, and then after the Shechita of the Karban Pesach on Shabbos, you find out that the Bailim all unregistered themselves from the Karban, or they all died, or they became Tameh, and therefore there are no owners left on this Karban Pesach. So they're no longer eligible. So now the Gemara is going to explain the status of this carbon. Is it totally possible? Is it like a Pesach that's shechted shalol yochlav v'shalol menuyav, where it's possible? Or maybe it loses its shame Pesach, but it becomes a carbon shlamim. The Gemara is also going to discuss, according to the possibility that the carbon becomes possible, so do we assume that you have to burn it right away? And when an Erev Pesach falls out during a weekday, if not on Shabbos, but during a weekday, you'd have to burn it right away? Or maybe you have to wait until it becomes nosar and then you burn it. And what this all depends on is the sugya of akira, and that's what we're going to focus on now. When you have a carbon that's no longer eligible for the carbon that it was designated for, does it still have the shame of that original carbon until you do akira, until you actually actively go and change its shame, or does it automatically shift? It automatically is no longer a carbon pesach because all of the owners of the carbon pesach are no longer registered in it, so it's automatically not roy for a carbon pesach. So says the Gemara, Amrav Hunamrav, Asham Shanita Klariya, if you have a carbon asham that has to be let out to graze, can't be brought as an asham. Why would a carbon asham not be able to be brought as an asham? The owner of that carbon asham already got a kapara with a different carbon asham. Or the owner of that carbon asham died. So now you can't bring the carbon asham is meant to address a particular avera. His avera has already been addressed with a different carbon asham. Or he died, so his avera was addressed by his misa being mechaper. So so the animal has kedusha, so it's nitak l'ri'iya. So you let it go and you let it graze, and after it becomes pasul, after it develops a mum, then you poda it for money, you sell it, and you take that money and you buy olos, you buy carbonous olos nedava for ketza mizbech. Ketza mizbech is whenever the mizbech doesn't have anything going on, so we use these carbonos to keep the mizbech busy. So if you have that you gave the carbon over to graze and develop a mum, and the Bala Karban didn't wait until it developed a mum, but instead Ushchato Stam, he just shechted it like it is before it developed a mum, Kasher Liola. It's already a Karban Ola. So that's point one, that if you have a Karban Asham that can no longer be used as a Karban Asham, but you didn't wait till it lost its status, you didn't wait till it developed a mum, you just shechted it Stam, that's already a Karban Ola. Apparently you don't need to do an Akira, it happened on its own, it's no longer a Karban Hashem, Memela shifts into being a carbon ola. Alma kasavar lo by akira. So what we see from there is that Amrav Hunamarav tells us that you don't need akira, that it automatically shifts. So says Gemara, okay, but if it automatically shifts, then why do I even need the fact that you've already given it over to the shepherd to let it develop a mum? Let's say even before that, as soon as the bailim dies, you should say that if you shecht it, it's kosher for an ola. So says Gemara, you're right. Technically, that would have been the halacha, but gzeira la'acha kapara atu lefnei kapara. We're afraid that if even before it's been given over to the shepherd, we're going to call it a karban ola when the guy shechts it. Then someone might do the same even when the Bailim didn't die, or the Bailim didn't get a kapara with another karban asham. Person's going to have a karban asham, he didn't get a kapara with something else, he still needs to bring a karban asham, and he's going to say, you know what, I'm just going to use this animal as an ola, and he shechts it stam, so let me count it as an ola, and he's going to think that works, and that certainly doesn't work because there's nothing that took it away from being an asham. So that's a gzeira midrabanan. But the point over here is that we see that even before it develops a mum, before you actually did any akira, it shifts into being a carbon ola anyway. So says Gemara Umina Temra, how do you know that there's such a gzeira of la'achar kapara atul lefnei kapara? It's not, because the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Temura, asham shemesu bailav ashun schapru bailav yira achistai. If you have a carbon asham that the bailam either died or already achieved a kapara through some other carbon, so you let it graze until it develops a mum, v'yimachar v'yipludam of linadava, and then you sell it and the money money is going to go for Olas Nedava, for Ketza Mizbeach. Rabbi Lezer Omer Yomus, that it should die. It's like Karban Chatas, where you just lock it up in a room and you let it starve to death. And Rabbi Shua Omer Yimachar V'yavi B'dam of Ola, that no, you let it graze until it develops a mum and use the money to buy a Karban Ola. So the Gemara is Medayik B'dam of In Aval Gufa Lo. It sounds like you can use the money that you get for this animal for a Karban Ola. But if you were to take the actual animal itself that was originally Huktash as a Karban Asham, you're not allowed to bring it as an Ola, even though the Bal HaKarban that had to bring this Karban Asham is wants to bring it as a Karban Ola. No, you want to bring Karban Ola, you got to buy another Behema. So the Gazer LeAcher Kapara Atul Lifnei Kapara. And the reason we require that is we make a Gezerah not to be Makar of a Karban Asham, where the Bailam already got a Kapara from a different animal, because of a Cheshash that a person might take a Karban Asham before he ever got Kapara from a different animal and try to sneak it in as a Karban Ola. And such a Karban is going to be possible, because you can't just be Mishana the shame of a Karban from an Asham to an Ola just like that. So Shema Minah, so we see that we do make such a Gezerah of LeAcher Kapara Atu Lifnei Kapara. Okay, but that's all as far as the Gezerah is concerned. But bottom line is, Rav Huna Amar Rav had said that Akira is not necessary for a Karban Asham. A Karban Asham could be brought as a Karban Ola even if you don't do anything. It's just that it's no longer needed as an Asham. The Bailam already got his Kapara, and on a, that's it. On a Daraisa level, now you shecht it Stam, and it automatically becomes a Karban Ola. Now here's where we're going to run into trouble. How does that translate over to Karban Pesach? According to Rav, the halacha should be that even without being oker the Shem Pesach, you should be able to bring it as a Karban Shlamim. If let's say you have a Karban Pesach that's supposed to be brought as a Karban Pesach, then the Bailam all died, or the Bailam all were Mashku Yudayim. They all unregistered from the Karban Pesach. So we should say automatically it becomes a Karban Shlamim, because you don't need Akira. But we're going to see we have a problem. So Eisvei Rav Chisda Rav Huna, Rav Chisda challenges Rav Huna that the Mishnah says, Shchato v'noda shamashku Bailam es Yadam, if you shech the Karban Pesach and you find out afterwards that the Bailam had unregistered themselves from that Karban, Nitani Allah, b'chol ki agavni yisarif miyad. And we said if such a thing were to happen on a weekday, you'd burn it right away. You don't have to wait even for Ibritsura, you'd burn it immediately. Say Iyam b'shlama b'yi Akira, if you need an Akira in order to take away its shame, Karban Pesach, hai Pesachu. So then I understand. This is a Karban Pesach because you didn't do anything to make it not a Karban Pesach. V'kima d'lesle b'ayim, so it's a Karban Pesach that's ownerless. Savli p'sula b'gufo. It's a Karban Pesach that's inherently possible. Sabtu l'hachi yisarif miyad. So I understand. You're going to burn it immediately. Eli Iyam lo b'yi Akira. But if you, Rav Huna Marav, want to say that you don't even need to do an Akira, as long as it's no longer practical to bring as Karban Pesach, it automatically shifts into Karban Shlamim. Well, Meresha Havalei Shlamim. So then it's really a Karban Shlamim before the Shechita. Upsul Mishamai. So what's the Psul Mishamai? What's the Psul? Mishum Tavar Acher. The Psul is something else. The Kashachatai Acher Tamashal Ben Arbaim. The only reason it was possible then is because you shechted at the wrong time. We shecht the Karban Pesach after the Tamashal Ben Arbaim. But you're not allowed to shecht other Karbanos after the Tamashal Ben Arbaim. Like a Karban Shlamim is not allowed to be brought after the Tamashal Ben Arbaim. Right? That's what we learned all the way back at the beginning of Taman Ishchat and Daf Nun Ches, that you have this concept of Aseda Ashlama, and really on the Darais level, Mishanatu Tzlalei Erev, as soon as the shadow starts moving to the other side of the sky, it's already time for the Tamashal Ben Arbaim, but we generally do it later. Why do we do it later? To allow for more time to bring other Karbanos. But Ibir Tzurabai, then Lechora, you should have to wait until it becomes Noser and only burn it later. Titania Zeh Klal, because the rule is, Kol She Psula Begufo Yisarif Miyad. Whenever the Psul in the Karban is an inherent Psul, then you burn it immediately. But Dam, but if the Psul was with the Dam, that the Dam fell right onto the floor, it didn't have Kabbalah Bekli, or the Dam was with the Bailim, the Pesach was Shechted, and then you found out that the Bailim became Tameh, or the Bailim all died, then to Ubar Tzuraso, then you need to wait for Ibar Tzura, the Yetzel Lebes HaSreifa, and then the next morning you go and you burn it. So based on what this price is telling us, that the carbon that's pasul has to be burnt right away only if it's psula begufo, the Tana of the previous price who said that the carbon pesach that's shechted on a weekday, and you find out that the bailam are no longer around, they died or whatever, so we said burn it right away, must hold that you need an akira, and that's why this carbon didn't have an akira, is still a carbon pesach, and is psula begufo. So there's our stira, right? Meaning that's the stira that the Gemara is asking. That on the one hand, we said that when it comes to a carbon Now, when it comes to a carbon asham, we had said that that you don't need an akira, that it automatically turns into a carbon ola. Yet, by the carbon pesach, it remains a carbon pesach until you're oker, and that's why it's got psula begufo. So the Gemara is going to have four ways of resolving this stira. So first, says Gemara, elote mishchato stam kashul shemola. No, back on the carbon asham case, we misunderstood. We didn't mean to say that if you shecht that carbon asham that the Bailam already got a kapara for, that if you just shecht it stam, that it's kasher as a carbon ola, ela ima shchato lishum ola kasher alma bayakira. No, it means if you shecht it l'shem a carbon ola, it's going to be kasher. But of course, you need to actually do an akira in order for it to be kasher. You need to actually shecht it l'shem carbon ola. So the first approach, really an akira, specifically uprooting the designation of that carbon, is absolutely necessary. Rav never said that shechting an asham anita klariya stam would be kasher for an ola. Only that if you actually did an akira, it's kasher for an ola. And therefore, in this stira between how we deal with asham and how we deal with pesach, our understanding of asham was lav dafka. Our understanding of pesach was correct, right? You do require an akira, and it remains a carbon pesach until you actually do an akira. So says Gemara Rabbi Chiya Bar Gamda da Amar nizruka mipi chabura va'amri. But according to Rabbi Chiya Bar Gamda, that said that the whole chabura of chacham said that you can't bring a raya from the Mishnah, from the previous Mishnah about carbon pesach that shechted shelo bizmano, that it needs akira, because it could be that the Mishnah is talking about kigon shayu bailim timei mesim v'nitchen the pesach sheni, that the case might have been that the bailim of the carbon pesach were all timei mesim, so they're still within the parsha of carbon pesach because they're going to have to bring the pesach sheni. So since they're chayiv in carbon pesach, their behema does not become a carbon shlamim until they actually do an akira. But if you shecht, and therefore if you shecht it on Yantiv Stam, and they have chametz in their house, they do not violate the Isra of L'Sishra L'Chametz. There's a little bit of background that's necessary over here. Well, this refers back to a sugya we had 10 days ago, so it may not be 100% fresh in all of our minds. This refers back to the sugya of L'Sishra L'Chametz Dam Zivchi, that you're not allowed to shecht a karban when you still have chametz around. What karban are you not allowed to shecht when you still have chametz around? And when? When is it problematic to have chametz around? So we said a karban Pesach on Erev Pesach. On Erev Pesach, we shecht karban Pesach and still have chametz around. That's a violation. If it's on Chol HaMoed, any other carbon, other than a carbon Pesach, it's a violation of the L'Sishcha L'Chametz Dam Zivchi. So what if you had a carbon Pesach that wasn't shechted on Erev Pesach, and now you're shechting that carbon Pesach on Chol HaMoed? So if it's still a carbon Pesach, you're pater. It's not L'Sishcha L'Chametz Dam Zivchi, because the carbon Pesach is only on Erev Pesach, right? Zvachai Zivchi. So it's on Erev Pesach. And if it's and if it's a carbon Shlamim, then you're going to be Chayiv. So Rabbi Chiya Bar Gamda had said that that the case must have been that the Bailim were all Timei Mesim, and that's the reason why it's still a Karban Pesach. But just the fact that it could no longer that you were not Oker it and made it a Karban Shalom, it would not have stayed a Karban Pesach. So he said, Hi, who de Bayakira? Habi Alma lo Bayakira. It sounds like the Karban Pesach of people who were Timei Mes on Erev Pesach, that requires Akira, since they're still in the Parsha of Karban Pesach. But it makes it sound like a regular carbon pesach or all other carbonos lo bayakira. You don't need to be oker it. It would automatically lose the shame. So ma'ikal lemeimar. So now, how are you going to explain the brisa that says that a carbon pesach that's shechted on a weekday and you find out that the bailim were mashku yadayim, that the bailim no longer are registered on it, or that they died or they became tameh, that yisarif miyad, you should burn it right away? If a carbon doesn't require an akira, so it should automatically become a carbon shlamim. And if it's a carbon shlamim, it's not a psul begufo. It's only a violation of the aseid hashlama. And if that's the case, you should wait till ibur tzura. It should not be burnt right away. So essentially what we're saying is that answer number one is problematic. Because again, answer number one is that really an akira is necessary. You always need an akira. The case of carbon asham, we misunderstood. But now we're showing that no, you don't always really need an akira. That's not in fact true. Even by the case of carbon pesach, it automatically becomes a carbon shlamim. So says Gemara, Ella Amravuna, a second answer. Ella Amravuna, Breid Rav Yeshua, Hacha B'mayaskinan, in the Braisa that talks about Yisarif Miyad, that you'd burn the carbon pesach right away, that Kigon Shefrishu Kodem Chatzos, Umesu Bailim Acher Chatzos. That you designated the animal before Chatzos, the Bailim didn't die until after Chatzos and Erev Pesach. Tahavale Nirev Nidche. Because in that case, once Chatzos hits, this is Ra'ui for a carbon pesach. And it's now been Nidche by the Bailam dying. And the rule is, or by the Bailam becoming Tamir, or by the Bailam being Mashkri Yedayim, or whatever, whatever problem happened with the Bailam. And any time you have something that's Nira Vinidcha, that was Ra'ui from the Mizbech, and now has been Dachui from the Mizbech, it's something that's no longer eligible from the Mizbech, it remains Dachui forever, it can never become Ra'ui again. So I understand the Tana of the Braisa that says that you have to burn it right away is because once it was Nidcha from the Mizbech entirely, and you can't bring it for anything, you're not even allowed to bring it for a Karmat Shlam, because it's Nidcha, it can't be used on the Mizbech. So that's why you'd have to burn it right away. Meaning, if you want to tell me that it could still be a Karmat Shlamim, so then I understand you can't burn it right away. Because as a Karmat Shlamim, the psul was that you violated the Aseid HaShlama, which is not a psul in the Guf, and therefore you should wait till the next morning to burn it. But if you say that it can't be a Karmat Shlam anyway, because it was near of a Nidcha, and that's it, and once it's Nidcha, it's Nidcha, so it's not a Karmat Shlam anyway, so it's a psul beguf anyway. So I understand why you're going to burn it right away. So it says, no, but that's not going to work, because we're trying to explain the Shita of Rav. Our whole kasha was on Rav Huna Amar Rav. The whole point was to try to explain the Shita of Rav. So midi utayma ela l'Rav ha'amar Rav balichayim einan nidchim. Rav rejects that whole concept. Rav holds that balichayim, you never say it's nidcha from the Zveich, it could ever be used for anything. No, it was nidcha from Karban Pesach, but it could still be used for a Karban Shlamim. So that's not going to answer us. That answer doesn't satisfy us. So now the Gemara moves on to answer number three. Ela amar Rav Papa hamani Rabbi Elazar hi. That we're assuming like the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Meaning, when we say that the Pesach, that the Bailam are no longer available, that it should be burnt right away, so that follows the Shita of Rabbi Elazar. The Amar v'chein ha-shochet acherim, if a person shechts a sheep or a goat, l'shem, that are meant to be other karbanos, l'shem Pesach, but he shechts it l'shem Pesach, pasul, it's going to be pasul. So the havelei psula begufo, because that's considered a psula guf, and because on its own it became a karban shlamim, and someone who shechts a shlamim, L'shem Pesach, passes the carbon, and that's a psul beguf, so that's why it's burnt right away. V'i Rabbi Eliezer, but says Gemara, if we're assuming like Rabbi Eliezer, chatas nami mechayiv, in addition to burning the carbon on Erev Pesach that falls out on a weekday, you also should be chayiv a chatas for shechting when Erev Pesach would be chal on Shabbos. To less say that Rabbi Eliezer tov b'dvar mitzvah pater, because Rabbi Eliezer rejects the entire concept of tov b'dvar mitzvah pater. So if this were to happen on Shabbos, you should be chayiv for violating Shabbos as well. Ella Tirgum Rav Yosef Bered Rav Salach Hasida Kamed Rav Papa Hamani. No, instead of saying that we're following the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer because you run into trouble with Tov B'Dvar Mitzvah, no, Hamani, who's the author of the Brisa? Yosef Ben Chonai. It's Yosef Ben Chonai Ditnan, because we have a Mishnah that Yosef Ben Chonai Omer in the beginning of Zvachim. Yosef Ben Chonai says Hanishchatim L'Shem Pesach L'Shem Chatos Psulim, that any carbon that you shecht on Erev Pesach, l'shem Pesach, or if you shecht during the rest of the year, l'shem Chatos, they're going to be pasul. Alma, so you see that a carbon shlamim that you shecht l'shem Pesach is psula begufohi. Umishum hachi, yisarif miyad. And because it's a psula guf, you burn it right away. Ubipturi, but legabe the ptur from a chatos, because of Tov B'Dvar Mitzvah, savala krebi Yeshua. He holds that there is such a concept of a Tov B'Dvar Mitzvah. So now the Gemara moves to answer number four. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi says there's no stira. Rav the Amar Kerabi Shmuel Benosh Rabbi Yochanan Baroka. Rav who allows a carbon asham that was already designated to graze and to develop a mum and was shechted stam, where he says you don't need akira. He's assuming like Rabbi Shmuel Benosh Rabbi Yochanan Baroka that a carbon pesach that doesn't have bailim becomes a shlamim on its own and it does not require akira. Ditanya Rabbi Shmuel Benosh Rabbi Yochanan Baroka Omer im yeshu hus peyom leida imashku bailim es yedei mo shemeso shenitmeu chayiv tuberturas v'yosel beis. That if you could have found out that the Bailam were no longer associated with that carbon, so since you didn't do any research to try to find out, you're going to be chayiv a carbon chatos, and on a weekday it would require ibur tzura and it would be yotzei lebeis hasreifa the next morning. My taima lav mishum de lo bayakira. Why does Rabbi Shmuel Rosh Rabbi Yochanan Baroka say that the carbon is not yotzei lebeis hasreifa right away? That you need to wait for ibur tzura. It must be that you don't need akira. That it automatically becomes a shlamim, and a shlamim requires ibur tzura. Me my says my Gemara, how do you know that that's true? Dilma mishum desavar la ketana debay Rabba Baravua. Maybe he holds like the Tana of Rabba Baravua. Damra filu pigul nami by ibur tzura. That even a machsheves pigul requires ibur tzura. Even a psul begufa like machsheves pigul requires ibur tzura. The yalef avon avon minosar, because he has a gzera shava that derives that from nosar. The lote mahachi, because if you're not going to say that, you're going to say that the reason the carbon does not require akira you're going to say that his reason is based on the fact that it does not require akira. Nitmu bailim ayikal meimar. Let's say the bailim that were chayiv in the carbon pesach sheni, and the behema is still roi to be used as a carbon pesach, so it does not turn into a carbon shlamim. How is Rabbi Shmuel going to explain that the carbon needs ibur tzura? Havadai boy akira. It's still a carbon pesach if the bailim are still in the parsha of carbon pesach, so that for sure requires akira. Like we said before, nizukam pi chabura. Don't show you bailim to meimes. V'nidchul the pesach sheni, that the bailim are to meimes, and they have to bring pesach sheni. So their carbon is still a carbon pesach. So of the four answers that we suggested to this stira between carbon asham and carbon pesach, says the Gemara, ele mechavarta kedushani meikara, that Yosef ben Chonaihi. We go back to the third answer that it's Yosef ben Chonai. So it's a bit of a challenging Gemara. You got to go over it a few times, the four approaches to answer. But ultimately, we stick with the third approach, which, just to remind us, is that the Brice assumes, like Yosef ben Chonai, that even a shlamim shechted for the sake of a carbon pesach is inherently possible and is burned immediately. Even if the designation changes to a shlamim on its own, it's still burnt without any waiting time whatsoever. Okay, Hadron Lachel Dvarim Be'ezras Hashem. Tomorrow we'll begin the seventh parak of Maseches Pesachim. Okay. Have a good day, everybody. Take care.